Today, an interview with Bob Siegel of The Bob Siegel Show right here on the CGM Radio Network. On the election, the California lockdowns, masks, and a whole lot more. Join us for this week's edition of the World News Brief Podcast. And welcome to this week's episode of World News Brief. I am your host, Ryan Holland, and with me in a makeshift studio here in sunny, southern, locked down California is fellow CGM radio host Bob Siegel of The Bob Siegel Show. Bob, it's good to be with you here in California.
Ryan, it's always good to be with you. It's not good to be with anyone or do anything in California these days, but since you're here, we're glad you're here. I love getting together with you. Not real happy about what our state has to offer you because it's basically nothing once again.
Well, it is amazing. You might be asking, Ryan, why are you insane enough to be coming out to California in a time when the governor is attempting to put the state on full lockdown? And there's just...
Technically, you shouldn't have traveled here. Technically, I shouldn't have traveled to this studio that we're in.
We're literally, I don't know if we're breaking law, but we're certainly breaking emperor fiat, correct? Is that?
Yes, which a lot of people in California think that is the law. Like, some people are wising up to this guy, but we got a lot of people that actually voted for him. Then again, when you look at what happened in the national election, I'm sure they were workshopping that way of having elections in California for quite some time. So who knows who really voted for anybody?
Yeah, I know. And that's, and we're going to get into a lot of that. So Bob and I want to discuss what's going on in California. We want to discuss what just happened with the Electoral College vote yesterday. We're going to discuss a very interesting Just the News and Rasmussen poll that came out about a national mask mandate, amongst other things. So let's jump right in. And oh, the answer to the question of why I'm here is that there's just something about family. You know, when family's out here, you just visit family. And of course, Bob's out here. I'm in Texas, and so it's any excuse I can get to get out here to be with a fellow CGM radio host, the better. By the way, make sure that you subscribe to Bob's show. I'm actually going to be guest hosting a couple of his episodes over the next couple of days. So while I'm out here, we're gonna do some Bob Siegel shows together as well. So make sure to subscribe. Go to cgmradio.com. cgmradio.com. Subscribe to World News Brief. Subscribe to The Bob Siegel Show. Subscribe, of course, also to Just You Asked, JP's Political Matrix, other great shows that we have on the network. So be sure to do that. And also the most, if not all, the articles that we discuss, along with a whole lot more, is up at cgm.news, our new news aggregator website. Okay, so let's jump in. So one of the things that I noticed, Bob, when we got out here a few days ago, was it didn't feel like a ghost town. Because in a ghost town, there's literally nobody there. There are cars on the street, but I've been coming out to Southern California since I was a kid, at least once a year since I was a kid, and because family and stuff. And it's always busy. It's not always like bumper to bumper here in Orange County and so forth, but it is. It's always busy. And when we turned out of John Wayne Airport to head to our destination, I could not believe how few cars were on the streets. What in the Newsom is going on here?
Well, first of all, I wish the whole state was a ghost town, because that would mean Sacramento was also a ghost town, which would mean there'd be no morons and lame brain pinheaded idiots in Sacramento that sit around with nothing else to do but come up with new ways to control our lives. Well, what's going on? And I was saying this back in March when this first began. I was saying it's not going to be just for 15 days, which were only guidelines from Trump and his team, but it's states like California that put teeth in them. I was saying from the beginning, they plan to keep this up. I was telling people, get used to, back then they weren't making us wear masks, but they were talking about the 6-foot social distancing. I say, get used to it. That is going to be the new climate change. They're, from now on, all restaurants, all airlines, all movie theaters, all church. And then they brought the masks on, and I don't think they're planning to ever get rid of that either. I went on my own radio show just a couple of weeks ago, and I said, are you folks, I'm talking to the people in California and San Diego, are you folks catching on? They don't plan to ever stop this. They had the restaurants all shut down and churches and everything except for what they deem as essential services. Essential services include liquor stores and marijuana stores.
Of course, of course.
And
priorities.
Then they were allowing people to open up. And I was saying, I'm not really looking forward to the opening up. I know everybody else says I'm not, because it's not going to be a real opening up. What they did is they went four steps forward. They're going to go one step backwards, and they're going to allow us to open up at 25% capacity with masks, 6 feet social distancing, and a bunch of other rules they're going to take out of the shed. And we're supposed to go, oh, well, at least we don't have to stay at home anymore. Thank you for those crumbs you're handing us, King Newsom. Well, it's all starting to happen. So we opened up for a while. Restaurants were open when you came out. And we met for the first time when you came out, I believe it was in June.
June, yeah.
They had just reopened coffee shops, remember? But you had to wear your mask while you were buying. Then you could take it off when you sit down. Because, of course, the COVID magically goes away when you sit down.
Of course.
While you're standing up, it's still there. Everybody knows that.
It's a smart virus.
Just follow the science.
Smart virus.
Follow the science, yeah. Since then, the restaurants closed down again and opened up again. And then closed down again.
Unbelievable.
And they've been trying to get the churches to do the same things. Our church finally just said, the heck with it. We're just meeting. I'm teaching my Sunday school class. I don't know who all hears me. I've been saying this on the air everywhere. I'm glad my show doesn't have such a wide scope that a whole lot of sheriffs and police officers are listening to me. But I go to Skyline Church. I won't give out the address, but it is a well-known church. And we're defying the orders. We're not the only church in California doing it. And we're meeting. Now, a lot of our people are wearing masks. In my class, I just tell people, we're going to treat you like adults. In my class, I do have a lot of senior citizens. Some of them are still more comfortable. For a while, we were only on Zoom. Some of them are just on Zoom now. Others are in the class. Some wear masks. Some don't. I just tell people, those of you that don't believe in the masks, no judgment on the people who wear them. Those of you wearing them,
amen.
If that we want you to be comfortable, but we're not going to listen to you tell other people what they have to do,
yeah.
Which is what we should have done throughout the whole country for a virus with a 99% recovery rate. We've shut down a whole nation and republic for a disease with a 99% recovery rate. And now the vaccine's here. What are they saying? Well, you know, even though people are taking the vaccine, it's probably not going to be till about 2022 before we're really able to really go back to normal. Folks, they don't plan to ever let us go back to normal. And for those of you listening to this podcast out of California, chances are the same with your state. Less of a problem in Texas, but we have some piece of work mayors in Texas too,
oh,
as
we
all know. From the poor woman that got arrested for opening up her salon in Dallas, I believe that was.
Yes.
And you interviewed her,
I did,
on
Shelley
your show,
Luther.
Didn't you?
Yeah. She's on my YouTube channel, actually. Yeah, so we've got some judges.
Wait, you have something on YouTube that they haven't taken down yet?
Yeah, I know. Believe it or not,
well,
an interview with Shelley Luther.
Praise God. Hallelujah, yeah. For the miracles.
Yeah, I know. It was the Dallas County judge that, as they're releasing criminals from jail, they're putting Shelley Luther in jail, the salon owner out of Dallas. Yeah. And she was in there for, I believe, about 5 days in jail while they're releasing violent
criminals.
Well,
it wasn't just for opening up, because he brought her into the courtroom and he was going to give her a fine, but he wanted her to publicly apologize,
yes,
and admit she was
not
wrong.
Not to the public. He wanted her to publicly apologize to the politicians, to the officials. And that's where I think you get, and to us who think from we're a constitutional republic, we're a representative republic, that's ludicrous. Why would he do that? But leftist mindset is all about worship of government, and it's all about the government telling us what to do, as opposed to we the people electing representatives who enforce the laws that we as the people want. But the leftist mindset is you have not offended the American people, you've offended us. Dictators have very fragile egos. Even I was reading recently about how in Stalin's Russia that they would have to clap for Stalin for a very long time. And the people, and they would not only have to clap for him, but they would have to enthusiastically clap for Stalin for a very long time. And if you waned in your clapping of Stalin, you could face very serious consequences.
Comrade, we don't think it's quite putting your heart into the clap.
Yeah, basically. So these dictators, they have very fragile egos. And so to them, they didn't offend the American people. They didn't hurt the American people. They hurt the politicians. They didn't say, apologize to the people of Dallas, to the people of Texas that you hurt. They said, apologize to us. So if you'll bow down to Caesar and worship Caesar, we'll let you go.
Yeah, I had a feeling of deja vu when I watched that footage on television. It reminded me of one of my favorite movies, Braveheart, toward the end of the movie when they were torturing him, that if he would just confess and state his allegiance to the king, then they'll stop torturing him and give him a more merciful death. So we've come a long way in these last few centuries, haven't we?
Yeah, no, we haven't. It's like, oh, well, that's ridiculous. No, we understand that they're not doing that specifically, but it's that same mindset. It's that same way of thinking. It's like...
In the 20th century, the Nazis did worse than that to people.
Oh, yeah.
And that was in the middle of our enlightened, morally progressive 20th century. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't think that could happen here and happen as bad, we are now where Germany was in the early 1930s. The Nazis just didn't come out of the sky and start rounding people up and putting them into concentration camps. It began with brainwashing, propaganda, lying about your enemy and saying about your enemy what you yourself are guilty of doing, creating a crisis, instilling fear, pitting rich against the poor, euthanasia. You just go down the list. And the people that are calling people on the right Nazis are doing exactly what the Nazis did.
It's troubling. It's troubling. And that's why, let's get to the Electoral College vote yesterday in a minute, because I do want to hit that, because we want to talk about kind of the trajectory of where this country is going. And is it over for Trump? There are some who enthusiastically actually do not think it's over for Trump, and in some bizarre ways, it's just actually getting started, giving what is being uncovered about these Dominion voting machines with what we just found out about the big report that came out of Antrim County, Michigan on Monday. But before we get there, I saw this earlier, and I was actually shocked. And we discussed this right before the show, so I want to get your thoughts on this, Bob. But this was from justthenews.com, and it's linked up at cgm.news. Voters broadly in favor of national mask mandate, but more divided on vaccine mandate. A majority of U.S. voters want a national mask mandate put in place. Oh, I think I might have the wrong story up. Here it is. Okay, do you oppose? I'm not going to get into the vaccine stuff right now. I just wanted to talk about the mask. And here it is. Do you favor or oppose a national mask mandate requiring every American to wear a mask whenever they leave home? So you leave your house, you have to wear a mask. What is your view on that? Strongly favor. 52%. Somewhat favor, 21%. Somewhat oppose, 9%. Strongly oppose, 15%. Not sure, 3%. So, according to, this is just the news in Rasmussen. This isn't, this isn't AP or Ipsos or, what's that one that's just totally, there's so many that are just totally in the tank for the left. This is Rasmussen. This is just the news saying 73% of Americans strongly favor or somewhat favor a national mandate requiring every American to wear a mask whenever they leave the house. Your reaction, Bob Siegel.
Well, this is going to sound like one of those on the one hand, but then on the other hand, but then on the other hand. Look, after what we've seen in this last election, which is not only the obvious election fraud that I don't, people can debate legalese all they want. This was a fraudulent election. Trump really won. Anybody that has eyes and wants to see that sees that. And that includes the fact that, and this even went back to 2016, that these polls have been skewed. We were hearing all kinds of polls about how Hillary had this in the bag. And I remember saying on Crosstalk ahead of time that that was one of the, not that it was hard for me to predict, a trained chimpanzee could predict this stuff, but just to show y'all how predictable it is, that's the only reason I bring this up. I was saying they're skewing the polls so that when Trump wins, they can say he cheated. That was their tactic in 2016. And they were going to cheat with the voting machines and things then too, and they did, but he won by such a landslide in 2016 that they had to stop counting. Anyway, I'm getting a little off subject, but it's also related. So all to say, on one hand, I'm saying I don't trust any of these polls. It's hard for me to believe that people who voted for Trump, who right from the beginning, even when he was working with the great Lord Fauci, even back at that time, Trump himself was saying, I don't want the cure to become worse than the disease. And you can tell that Trump hates the masks. Biden never showed up anywhere without one. Trump hardly ever put one on. And I was saying, bravo. It's hard for me to believe that the people who voted for this guy, which was the majority of the electorate, would be in favor of this national mask mandate. People are sick and tired of this. Here's where I get to the other hand. Rasmussen has been one of the better polls. If you had told me that that came from an ABC poll or a Gallup poll, there'd be nothing to even think about. I'm a little unsettled to hear that that happens from Rasmussen. And that leads me to my last hand, with the other hands going back and forth. I know an awful lot of people that are just scared to death because of the news they listen to. And I know a lot of people who say, oh, I think it is great for us to open up and open up theaters and open up churches, but we should still wear the masks. So is it possible? It's kind of like when I look at it, Biden. Do we have a lot of people out there that were brainwashed and hoodwinked and voted for Biden? Sure. Apparently far more voted for Trump. If Biden had won legitimately, given what people are hearing at our public schools, at our college campuses, from Hollywood, from practically any of the so-called mainstream media they turn on, I can see why a lot of people would have voted for that guy. But apparently Trump broke that glass, and more people voted for him, and they knew that was going to happen, and they cheated anyway. All to say, probably the truth is somewhere in between. Probably a lot more people than we would like to think, maybe even some who voted for Trump, are still scared to death about these masks. A lot of senior citizens voted for Trump the first time. They have reason to be afraid, and they're probably especially scared when they have a media that tries to scare them. I doubt that the percentage is as much as Rasmussen put it. And in this particular case, I'm going to have to say that even Rasmussen is in error. How much of an error, I don't know.
Yeah,
that was a long answer to a pretty easy quick question.
No, there's so many. No,
it's kind of nuanced.
It's extremely nuanced, and it was very puzzling to me. There was definitely some cognitive dissonance a bit that I experienced when I saw that. I'm like, how is this coming out of Rasmussen when we know at least 75 million people voted for Donald John Trump?
This is a guy that we know thinks these masks are a lot of hooey. He's never said it in exactly those words. I'll say it. Yeah. It's a lot of hooey.
Well,
here's my poll. 100% of me wants to get rid of these idiotic masks. That's the Bob Siegel internal poll.
No, it is. And the thing is, the thing with masks is that masks in general is that it's very unscientific. They say, just wear a mask, wear a mask, wear a mask. I could literally take my T-shirt and cut out the bottom half of the T-shirt, wrap it around my face, and they're happy.
And even the masks that they sell, read the packages. They have a disclaimer on there saying they're not going to work because the guys selling them don't want to be sued. It's right on the package. Read it. Now, are there certain kinds of masks that doctors should be wearing in hospitals? Of course. But those aren't the ones most people are wearing. And look at the CDC and Fauci going back and forth. First, he was adamant that we're not supposed to be wearing masks. Then he comes on and says, well, I just wanted there to be enough for the doctors. Oh, so you've admitted you lied to us, Fauci. Not that I think we should wear them, but he's saying right. we should now. He's saying he believed we should from the beginning, but that he wasn't telling us the truth. Okay, well then if the guy's a liar, why are we listening to him? Even when he's not lying and he's speaking sincerely, he says idiotic things.
Well, and we know that a lot of these people that such as Newsom, such as Whitmer, such as Lori Lightfoot, Andrew Cuomo, who are wanting to put all these mandates on us, don't believe them themselves. You look at what happened with Newsom in California at that French restaurant, not socially distanced, no mask. And he's trying to tell all of everyone else in the state what they're supposed to be doing.
That is one of three reasons. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Ryan just gave you one of three reasons why we shouldn't believe a word that comes out of their mouth. The first one, this is a very obvious one. This is one everyone's noticing. Biggest elephant in the room. They don't abide by it. The second one is if you go back to when all this stuff first started and Cuomo and Newsom were asked openly by the press, are you going to use this COVID to further your agenda? Are you going to take advantage of it? They said absolutely, without apology, shamelessly admitted that. There's an old saying that if you listen to an evil person long enough, sooner or later, he'll tell you exactly what he plans to do. And the third one, and this is the one that I keep saying every time I'm on Crosstalk, I say it. It's the broken record that I'm not going to stop playing. When they came out and told the police to stand down, when they said that rioters and looters, well, that's just our First Amendment freedoms. That's an assembly we have to allow, but they're not allowing churches to assemble. That tells you right there that they are not interested in our safety. We shouldn't believe them when they say they are interested in our safety. That is their sacred trust, by the way. They were appointed to be concerned about our safety. In fact, our safety is the only thing they're supposed to be concerned about. But they don't care about your safety. What they do care is using fear of your safety, to take control of your lives. So three reasons why you shouldn't believe it. They don't abide by it. They've admitted they're taking advantage of you. And when they tell the police to stand down, that is something worthy of impeachment. That is criminal. They should go to jail themselves, which is probably why they tell the police to stand down, because they're afraid the police will arrest them.
Yeah, no, exactly. You know, and to me, of the egregious things that these governors have done was, you know, so Hanukkah is going on right now. I don't think it's over. Maybe it's still going on. I don't know if it's
over. It is still. I'm such a Christmas nut, even though I'm Jewish. I don't pay as much.
Jewish Christmas.
I know it started a few days ago. I know it goes 8 days. So it's. I think it's still going on. Good Jew. I think it's still going on.
Well, but to me, you know, the Antiochus Epiphanes moment, which was this guy was a piece of work. He was the I believe he was a Roman emperor or governor.
The Greek kingdom before the Romans conquered them, but he had conquered and was ruling over Judea and Jerusalem, and he was the one that profaned
He
temple.
Sacrificed a pig on the
Epiphanes.
Altar. Yeah, it was there, and then Jacob Maccabeus, you know, comes back and basically throws the Greek kingdom off. But the Maccabean the Antiochus Epiphanes moment for me was in Nevada when they said that casinos can operate at 50% capacity, but churches can only have 50 people in them. That was when you know this is not about your safety. They are using the COVID vaccine. Look, when what is happening gives them the ability to accomplish everything on their wish list, and we know the left hates religion. You already have atheist groups that are telling Biden everything that they need to do to Christian groups, religious groups. You know that something is amiss when they get to check everything off their list that they want to do. And so what I wanted to ask you is, let's put our tinfoil hats on for a second. What's the real thing behind the mask? What's the real reason? Why? Because we know they love the masks. They love it. They love the lockdowns and all that, but they love the masks. Why do you think they love the masks so much?
Well, what's behind it is what they would call socialism, which will really be communism, but those isms are still more gentle than what they really are. A pure socialist communist country becomes a dictatorship with a two-tiered system. You have the elites and you have the poor that are 100% dependent on the government. Just ask anybody from Venezuela. They'll tell you how well that
well,
works.
Well, no, it's not. Well, we can get into, you know, Venezuela and stuff. Or
but that's where they're going with this. But the question is, how do you get there? So they read Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, and they've learned the tactics. And when you go into revolutions, I alluded to a little of this when I was reviewing how the Nazis came into power. You start pitting rich against poor, and you talk against the rich. But how many people are part of the Democratic Party that are so rich that they're controlling our lives right now? Bill Gates, the head of Amazon, the head of Facebook, YouTube, Google. These are some of the richest people that exist, not even counting George Soros, who's behind a lot of this stuff. And so they're making it the kind, look, think of it. If you're a rich person living in Beverly Hills and you're hearing about a lockdown. Now, I love Larry David from Seinfeld. He's a hilarious guy. And he made this commercial, which would be funny if it wasn't so pathetic. When the lockdowns first started in California, he gets on there and he's in his Beverly Hills mansion. He goes, yeah, this isn't so bad. I mean, how many times have we wanted to just stay at home and watch TV?
Unreal.
Well, that's great. And you know, Ryan, you and I can do what we do from our homes. I can go to my radio station because it's considered, at the moment at least, essential services. When I do my podcast, I do it from my home office. I do a lot of teaching. I can do that on Zoom. I do a lot of research. I do a lot of writing. I can work from home. A lot of people don't have that luxury. And I have a nice home that I work from. A lot of people don't have that luxury. Well, we're just staying home and watching Netflix and saving lives. That sounds so sanctimonious. Some people can't afford Netflix. Anyway, so it's a two-tiered system. Isn't it interesting that it's the wealthier people or the middle class, upper middle class that can work from home that are not having the biggest problem? What about the mom and pop department stores? What about the mom and pop restaurants? What about the churches? You can go all down the saloon owner that you interviewed. These businesses are being removed. So we had the upper class, the middle class, the lower class. You bring socialism about by destroying the middle class. Yeah. There's no longer any middle class. But you can tax people till they're blue in the face. If you're independently wealthy, no matter how big of a chunk they take out, you're still going to have a lot of money, particularly if you're a Democrat and if you're somebody who's ascribing to socialism. So you have these people who would not be where they were had they grown up in a socialist society. I love Clint Eastwood. I love Dick Van Dyke. They're two of my favorites in the business. They both supported Bernie Sanders. And I'm thinking, yeah, can you just imagine if we had a Bernie Sanders back in the early 1960s when these guys were first rising their star? They would not be where they were. But now they can afford that. So they're... That is the agenda. The agenda is socialism. But what they claim, it's going to be equal redistribution of wealth for everybody. That's never, ever the way it plays out. We will have a two-tiered system. The government with some wealthy people is a hybrid. And then people so poor, they can't even make a living. And they're 100% dependent on the government. And with that totalitarianism is always the elimination of freedom of speech and freedom of religion, because when people believe in God, and as a Christian, I'm convinced the God of the universe is the God we read about in the Bible. But frankly, any religion that believes in some kind of higher power is believing in a higher power higher than the government. And that's why the government doesn't want to give us religious freedom, or they'd be happy to regulate it. If churches will start swearing that they'll perform same-sex marriages and jump on board that abortion's okay, stop saying Jesus is the only way to God, stop talking about a God who's going to hold us accountable on Judgment Day, oh, sure, they'll let those churches exist, of which there are many. So that's where they're headed. How do they get there? They create fear. So it starts with this virus. And now I'm already hearing it on the news. Some of our Democratic pundits are coming out and saying, well, it's good that we finally have the vaccine, but it's probably going to be a couple of years before we're able to really go back to normal. And climate change is the next big danger. How do we fight that? Well, we need to stop using so many of our resources. We need to cut back. Ooh, hey, we're already used to cutting back. And this is what Dennis Prager said a long time ago on his radio show. This COVID has been a dress rehearsal for the Green New Deal. Doesn't mean there isn't a real COVID. Doesn't mean people aren't really dying. Doesn't mean we shouldn't take some sensible precautions. It means it's being exploited.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And they've told us. They've told us numerous times that that they're planning on, that this is a way that they can further their agenda.
You know, they may have been canceling Christmas for us, but their Christmas came back in March.
It did.
COVID was the gift that keeps on giving to them. They love it. They're salivating over this. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying what will happen to our country. I'm not predicting the future. I can't predict the future because perhaps a lot of people will rise up and they won't allow them to get away with it. But I can tell you what they're planning. They are planning to never stop. They're going to go from COVID, drive us right into the Green New Deal. And by the way, they don't care about climate change any more than they care about COVID. COVID and climate change are Trojan horses for their agenda.
And how do we know that? It's because they have these massive mansions. They fly around in private jets.
They fly around in private jets giving lectures all over the world about climate change.
Climate change. And then, of course, you've got like guys like Jeff Bezos and Mark Zuckerberg going around talking about income inequality. These global warming conferences use more resources than any of us ever will in their lifetime, just shuttling people back and forth from there. And so that's how you know, just like with the COVID stuff, the COVID lockdowns and the hypocrisy of these governors and mayors with the COVID hypocrisy, it's the same with the climate stuff. It is out of one side of their mouth they're talking about climate change, the other side of the mouth they're flying around in private jets, just using emitting more CO2 than we ever will in our lifetimes in one plane flight. But they want us driving around in our Priuses and our little apartments. It's bad for the environment. The suburbs and the rural areas are bad for the environment. We need to all be stacked on top of each other in cities. And I've read that myself. I mean, that's what they believe. That's what they believe. And they will, whether it's the environment or COVID or whatever, it is all ultimately to exploit it so they can move to a socialist, communist, totalitarian state. And Bob, you're absolutely right. They're not going to stop. They believe Biden won this election, which we can transition.
Oh, they don't believe Biden won this election. They believe Biden stole this election.
Well, that is true.
The people on the top that planned it, I mean. There's a lot of
right.
people in between
right.
that probably really believe Biden won. But the people that planned this, they know what they planned.
Well, including Biden.
Assuming things go through one ear and out the other these days, who knows what Biden understood.
Well, right. But he at least understood at one time. And this is how we can
start. He accidentally spoke the truth and said we have the best.
He said, we have put together the largest and most inclusive voter fraud organization in history. Number one is what he told us.
Yeah.
Number two.
One of the few times in his life he's ever spoken the truth, I should say.
I know. Number two, he said, I don't need you to get me elected.
Yeah, I just need you to obey me after I'm in.
I need you after I'm elected. So we can talk about Dominion. We can talk about mail-in ballots. We can talk about all kinds of voter fraud, but of evidence for voter fraud. But the reality is from the horse's mouth himself. He told us. Now, he slipped it up. He corrected himself afterwards, or he at least tried to make up for him letting
probably
the truth
after somebody
slip out.
Explained to him what he had really said.
But so Bob, I wanted to ask you, where do you let's say that now there's a lot of people that think that there's some very interesting stuff going on in the government with what President Trump has been doing in terms of him shifting things around with the national security apparatus, Barr's going away. On December 23rd, even though Barr had said previously that he would stay as long as the president needs him. And now this Wall Street Journal report comes out saying that Barr has known the whole time that Hunter Biden has been under investigation.
Which means the president has needed him like he's needed a hole in the head.
Yeah, I mean, Barr has been a colossal disappointment to anybody who cares about any kind of rule of law and justice in this country. But so Trump has, I think that Trump was like, either you resign or I'm firing you. Your choice.
And then after they do it, he's a great guy. Yeah. Wonderful man.
Yeah. Well, and even Lynn Wood, who has been very critical, Lynn Wood tweets out that he's a patriot and all of this. And it's a really
Barr's an unusual one, because when he first came in, I was concerned that he had been part of the whole deep state years ago. Now, I don't think it was as deep until Obama got there, but probably a lot of that stuff even predated Obama. And he comes back, and of course, he exonerated Trump from the whole Mueller thing, and it looked like he was doing his job. He was saying a lot of smart things. I did have a concern, and I did express it at the time, that somebody who was that connected with Washington returning, in his case, I think we have some real snakes and slimes in Washington, probably with Barr, and I can't read his mind, and I don't know him, but I'm making my guess. He's probably somebody that had some integrity and set about to do the right thing and probably really did want to investigate some of this stuff that happened with Obamagate and the whole thing about how they framed Flynn, went after Trump. And then I think a lot of his buddies just sat him down and said, yeah, you know, Bill, this is a problem. And honestly, we're doing our own internal investigations, and yeah, we should do some slaps on the wrist, but you got to think about the future and what's going to happen to the American people. They always think that they say the words "the American people," somehow they're selling it. We're just concerned about the American people losing faith in the FBI, and we've just got to be really careful. You should do your job. By all means, do your job. By all means, what happened was wrong. We see that it was wrong, but don't give us too big of a bloody nose. And I think that's why this whole thing got stalled. Similar for why, you know, they're investigating Hunter Biden. They don't come out and say this. Now, it actually was public knowledge, technically, because they did convene a grand jury, the head of Judicial Watch. I mentioned that on the Lou Dobbs show just yesterday. But nobody was paying attention to it. It certainly could have been better emphasized. And the spin in the media was that Trump's making up all this stuff about Biden as kind of a sideshow. And even when the Washington Post talks about it, it gets removed from Twitter. And now it's come out that Barr knew about this. Why did he put a lid on it? Probably because, again, somebody came out and said, you know, so many people think that you're just Trump's lapdog. You've got your reputation to think about. Mm-hmm. Look, Biden won the election, and Trump's not going to be around. And what's your reputation going to be? Don't you want to go out with a bang, or do you want to go out with a whimper? And honestly, you're going to look like somebody who fixed the election for Trump by giving this information. Or I guess if they had that talk with him before the election, what they would have said was Biden's probably going to win. And honestly, I think these guys were close friends. I think a lot of well-intended people go out to Washington, and it isn't long before they start drinking the Kool-Aid. I hate to say it, but I'm every bit as much concerned with the three justices that Trump appointed on our Supreme Court. They all claimed to be originalists. You could not possibly have a more original reading of the Constitution as a state violating election law as it's laid out in the federal constitution and the state constitutions, and they won't even hear the case. They won't even hear it. But who knows? Were their lives threatened? And even if they were willing to give up their own lives, were the lives of their children threatened, like the FBI did with Flynn, or at least they threatened his son with legal action? Or did they have Chief Justice Roberts sit down like he did with Amy Barrett originally when they didn't take the Pennsylvania case in the first one? You're just here. It's your first day.
Yeah, you could look partisan.
You're going to look so partisan because Trump brought you in. I think that's part of it. I also think a lot of things happen to them when they go through that grueling from the Democrats. Are you going to go with the Constitution, or are you just going to go with your moral viewpoints about abortion? Oh, as if Elena Kagan was asked to recuse herself when they went and overturned the DOMA Act regarding same-sex marriage. That the standards for the left are never the same for the right. And by the time they get through that grueling, they may think, I've got to prove something. I've got to prove my objectivity. And unfortunately, in Washington, you prove your objectivity by going with the left, which never calls itself left. There's in Washington, it's the extreme right. And then there's the good old moderate mainstream common sense that any decent person ought to have. And I think that's why Roberts has moved to the left. And I'm concerned now. There's a small slimmer of me that's hoping against hope that the Supreme Court just had some reason for not wanting to take that case, and they're waiting for something better to come up through the pipes. We can all be the eternal optimist. That hope would be nothing if I didn't believe in God, and that maybe at the 11th hour, God could give them some courage, which they're obviously not demonstrating. Easy thing for me to say. I'm not in Washington. Nobody's threatening my family or whatever it is they're doing. But still, it's going to take courage. Somebody's going to have to just stand up and be another Giuliani and say, call me what you want. Do what you want. I'm going to say the right thing. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to speak the truth. Maybe God will still give them the courage. Maybe God's going to allow our country to go through judgment because we've had so many evangelical pastors who've been compromising long before this. I don't know what's going to happen. I still hope for that. But on the human trajectory, I don't trust the Supreme Court. I don't trust the FBI. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust the people in Trump's cabinet.
The only reason why I thought the Supreme Court might come through for Trump, and who knows, maybe they still will at some point, because we know we have major lawsuits going on in all of these states, the Electoral College on Monday, and seven states, the six swing states and New Mexico, alternate electors cast their votes for Trump. So that's been recorded in those state records, apparently, from what I've been seeing. But the question, I thought, because it just seems so providential that she came in, that Amy Coney Barrett came in at the time that she did, that I just believed that, oh my gosh, perhaps there is a reason why, and that it has to do with the election. And so if these lawsuits in all these other states are able to make it to the Supreme Court, then maybe at the last hour, it's possible only through, I agree with you, a miracle of God that they would have the courage to do.
Yeah, and there have been enough miracles of God in Trump's last 4 years, really five if you count the campaign.
He's
because
a miracle.
He's a miracle, and God has taken care of him. So that's certainly possible. Another thing that's possible, though, is I don't disagree that Amy Barrett getting in was very providential, but there's a lot of times in the Bible where providential things happen and God says, here you are, and people don't take it. Not the least of which the Israelites were brought right up to the promised land and they would not go in. Why? Fear. Oh, there's giants in the land. And what did God do? He said, okay, you're going to go around in the wilderness for another 40 years and you're going to completely die off and only your children, your grown children, are going to enter the promised land. It's kind of like the old coach in track when the team starts whining. He says, all right, take another lap. Well, the Israelites were whining, not giving what God the coach handed to them. So they had to take another 40-year lap. So who knows?
It could be. Well, let me get your because someone who doesn't seem to have a lot of fear that we've grown to respect over the past 4 or 5 years is President Donald Trump. Now, there was an Executive Order 13848, that he did back in September 2018, having to do with foreign interference in our elections. The deadline for the director of the DNI, John Ratcliffe, who seems to be a pretty patriotic guy.
Yeah, there's once in a while there's somebody that Trump hires that actually helps Trump.
Has his back. I mean, and it is amazing. It's like it's amazing.
There are a few. There's Jim Jordan. There are a few.
Well, with
there.
Republican administrations, they're all supposed to just follow the rule of law, and it doesn't matter if the rule of law goes against the person that they're working for. But of course, Democratic administrations, they're supposed to just have their back. The attorney
Democrats,
general,
the ends
can do,
justify the
yeah,
means.
Well, yeah,
period.
The attorney yeah. general can have Obama's back on every turn, and that's and he's
Isn't
doing
that
the
a
right
joke?
Thing.
Yeah, but Barr's just been the president's laptop. Oh, Eric Holder wasn't.
Yeah,
that
no,
no.
Him.
Oh no.
Yeah, how many investigations did Eric Holder do?
How do they
Barack
say
Obama?
This stuff with
it's
a
amazing.
Straight face?
They do, man. They do. It's really incredible. So we have we have this executive order where the DNI is supposed to be bringing a report. Gosh, in just the next few days is the deadline, 45 days after the election, December 18th, where, and, you know, who knows, it's possible that Trump could do some, and people think that, you know, Trump could possibly, because this report that came out of Antrim County, Michigan, on Monday, that basically after they did a forensic audit of these 22 machines, of course, Antrim County is the famous county where there was a, quote, glitch, and votes, thousands of votes, were flipped back to Trump. They were taken away from Trump initially. Trump ended up winning the county. There was, like, I think the county commissioner ended up winning the election. He had lost. This is a red, red county that went for Biden, which was very curious. They were allowed to do a forensic audit of these machines.
If they could flip a red county, how much easier a blue swing county?
Oh, very, very easy. So it's quite possible that as this evidence has come out, some very, incredible evidence. We can look at, if you look at it, and I've got a good article about it at cbgm.news, including video where there's an electoral official that shows how they can manually flip votes and all of that. It's quite possible. See, Trump knows this election was stolen from him, number one.
We knew it was being stolen for him before Election Day, and when so they used COVID as an excuse to do the mail-in balloting.
And if we knew that, long before, you know,
we knew this back in April when they were using COVID again. See, COVID's that Trojan horse.
It is. It's the gift from China, from the Chinese Communist Party that
which,
keeps on
incidentally,
giving.
Trump was being very hard on, and they want to go back to the status quo.
Oh, boy, don't. The last thing they want is for Trump to actually fight the trade war that they had started with us. We didn't start the trade war. People act like Trump started the trade war. The Chinese fired the first shot. The Chinese Communist Party fired the first shot. And Trump finally actually retaliated to try to get some fair trade going on there. But it's quite possible that Trump could pull. I mean, if I talked about this at the very beginning, right after the election. I talked about on your show, talked about the Insurrection Act.
And maybe the last card he has to play. But can you imagine the reaction if he does that?
It would be.
They've been saying from the beginning during the debates, Mr. Trump, if you lose the election, it was almost like when you lose the election, fair right. and square, are you going to voluntarily leave the White House, or are they going to have to send in the army to take you out? You know, in many ways, they themselves staged what they were predicting he was going to do.
So if we knew this was coming, and. Well, Trump certainly knew it was coming, and Trump was apparently
concerned. And they sure knew it was coming, because that's why they're asking him questions about, are you going to leave the White House when what we have planned for you comes through?
And Trump knew this was coming at least back in 2018, which is why he did that executive order. He wouldn't have done that executive order if he didn't see a real credible threat
coming
down the
pipe. Well, and
back
then, I think more people liked it, because the whole thing was Russia interfered with this election, and that's how Trump got in. So he was kind of pleasing them by passing that act, but now they don't believe in that act anymore.
Yeah,
because
now
it might get rid of Biden.
Right.
Who is in reality every single thing they accused falsely Trump of doing.
Yeah, and so I think that and it looks like it's possible that they're going to be able to get more of these Dominion voting machines. And it's possible that that the evidence is going to get so overwhelming that they are actually able to get it to the Supreme Court. And but even before it gets to the Supreme Court, if the fix is in, especially that China, and if they can show, which they're saying that there's all these back doors to these Dominion voting machines, if it can be shown that China is involved with these Dominion voting machines in China and other nations, which is what they're saying, you know, it went through a server in Germany. We already know all of this. That this is actually, that it's so rigged and it's so, the left will never admit it. They'll never admit it no matter what.
Here's their talking point, Ryan. Dominion has categorically denied that there's any problems with their machine.
Oh, newsflash.
That was a close
Man,
one.
Man, I feel better already.
There's
Thank
no
you, Bob.
Need to investigate anything. That's more or less what the talking point is. Except that they'll also say his own Attorney General Barr didn't see the evidence. He didn't see that evidence?
Okay, well, here's the thing about Barr. That this just came out. I saw it yesterday or the day before.
Where he was claimed they took him out of context.
No. This was in Forbes did a piece in 2019. They did a series of articles about Trump's cabinet and how much money people in Trump's cabinet make. Well, they did one on Barr. And get this. And this was a 2019 article before Dominion was a thing and anybody cared. But they said, according to SEC filings, Dominion had paid Barr $1.2 million dollars for his work with them and gave him another $1.2 million in like stock.
Wait, what was the work that Barr did with Dominion? He's not supposed to have anything to do with our elections other than enforcing a law against fraud.
Well, this was something he had done previously with Dominion.
Something where their apparatus was being used in the Justice Department?
Well, No. This was when he was in the private sector.
Oh, okay.
That he had actually done work with Dominion in the past as some kind of legal counsel or
so maybe
consultant
he knew about some,
or something like that. To where he has actually been, according to
so
SEC
he's been
filings.
Perhaps complicit in some of this, you're thinking.
Well, I don't know. But reading Forbes, according to SEC filings, he's been paid a total of $2.4 million in cash and other benefits by Dominion voting systems themselves.
Did they throw in the decoder ring and the egg roll with that?
Who knows? And who knows what Barr ultimately knows about all this. I'm with you. There's been something in me that has said there's something about Barr that's made me go, I think that maybe there's good in him, that he's not the total swamp creature that a lot of people think that he is. Now, he may be, and he may be half and half. He's hard to read. Him sitting on that Hunter Biden story for a year is inexcusable, and you absolutely cannot take the fact that you don't want to play politics, that you'd be playing politics with it, because it's playing politics by not letting the American people know about it.
Yeah, the minute they say it's going to favor Trump by disclosing this, then the reverse is also true. It favors Biden to not disclose it. So how about just saying, it's not my job to worry about politics. I'm the Attorney General.
Yeah, what a concept.
How about if I just speak the truth? And the chips, maybe the truth will help Trump. Maybe the truth will hurt Trump. I'm going to speak the truth. But that's a whole new idea. And yeah, getting back again to the fact that Barr may have started out sincere. I think there's a lot of people that go to Washington as Anakin Skywalker and come home as Darth Vader.
Well, when you put it like that.
Got to give a little nod to the Star Wars
fans.
You do.
As terrible
we
as
love
this.
Our fellow Star Wars geeks.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we'll see what happens with the Star Wars franchise if episode 7 and 8 are any...
I didn't like the last few they made, but I did love the one where Emperor Palpatine said, I promise to recede my power when this crisis is over. Soon as COVID's beyond us, 15 days, we can hunker down for 15 days. We're only taking power to temporarily keep you safe. I love democracy, and I promise to abrogate my power when this crisis is over. Yeah, there was a lot of allegory in Star Wars.
Well, my favorite line from the entire franchise is when Padme says, that's how liberty dies, with
thunderous
applause.
Yeah. Thunder,
that is. It is. It is how liberty dies. I was very prescient of Lucas to put that.
Yeah,
that
was very insightful of Lucas in the movie, but then he hates Trump and he's not aware of which side the empire which side the resistance is.
You gotta ask yourselves, why was the empire?
Because he went to Hollywood and he drank their Kool-Aid. Hollywood's another Washington.
He did. So all right, so to wrap this up, we're hitting an hour here. This has been a great conversation. I'm glad we've hit what we've hit. I guess what I would like to go off with is, we can't. It's dangerous to make predictions. I believed and predicted that Trump would win. I think a lot of us actually believe that Trump won.
He did win. And but whether or not he's going to actually serve as president the next 4 years is the question.
Yeah, that's the question. And if you're looking at it from a human standpoint, it's a 99.99%.
Human standpoint, there's no way this Supreme Court is going to do anything but the same thing with the other case. Can God still do something? Yes. Yeah. My gut is inclined to not think it's going to happen. Doesn't mean it'll be the end of Trump or the end of hope in some other way. And yet I hope my gut is wrong. My gut also tells me that Trump has, as I've said before, flown out of the ashes like a phoenix before. So it could happen again. I wouldn't be entirely surprised if he pulls this out. I have little bit of hope, but I'm inclined to think it's not going to happen. I shouldn't be even predicting that because we don't know what's going to happen.
Because, I mean, Trump is of the disposition of his constitution, his makeup is for a time such as this. If there was going to be a president,
who would fight,
who's fought as long as he has, and who would actually, if they know that there is a real credit, that this election steal was a direct result of Chinese cyber warfare against the United States, combined with Chinese biological warfare against the United States. If there's anybody that would invoke the military to do something about it, which is why let's get rid of Esper, we got Miller in his place, and so forth, and other stuff that he's done militarily that we can't get into on this show, I think that it's Trump. Now, I'm not saying that he will, but if there's someone that would do it now, I see that would be the way that America would be rescued. Definitely, I agree.
I agree.
The Supreme Court.
He has the stuff of that. He has that kind of makeup and constitution. I will say this also, because this could be another way that Trump is used by God or however this goes. We're going to have a civil war either way. Even if they had announced Trump on Tuesday night, the first Tuesday of November, the left would never have gone along with it. They never went along with it from 2016. They were calling him an illegitimate president for 4 years. They set up this cheating apparatus so that if Trump tried to legally take it back, it could look to most people like he stole it. Let's say Trump pulls this out. Half the country is not going to follow him. Let's say Trump doesn't pull this out. Half the country is not going to follow that baboon that they're putting in there for 30 days until Kamala Harris can take care of him, or maybe 15 days, not rub him out, but they're going to find a way for Biden to step down. Either way, it's civil war. And I never thought I would say this, but given the choice between being compliant in a country that's still called the United States of America, but no longer is the United States of America, or secession, I'm for the secession. And I know that's a bad word, because back in the 1860s, secession was a bad thing. The states of the South did not secede for good reasons. But secession is a neutral phenomenon. What makes it good or bad is your reason for seceding. Case in point, we seceded from England. The 13 colonies seceded from England because they were no longer going to serve King George. We may have to secede to not serve King Biden, Queen Kamala, King Newsom, King Cuomo. It may have to happen. And who would the president be if we seceded? Donald Trump.
Wow. That's very true.
And look, folks, I'm not telling you to go out there and blow anything up. I'm not telling you to go out there and shoot anybody. I wouldn't be able to aim. I've never held a gun in my life. I'm just saying some kind of resistance. Well, for me, it would be a peaceful resistance. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, and when you have people like Colonel Allen West that has come out.
And I love that. I've always loved that guy. I was so disappointed he only served 2 years in Congress.
Well, I know. And I got to meet him personally a couple months ago and talk to him for a few minutes.
All right. Well, your assignment is to get him on my show as a guest.
Boy, I would love to. Boy, I tell you something. I would take an Allen West as a first president of this new republic. But
I would take Bart Simpson over Joe Biden as the head of this republic.
Well,
would take a cancer... A cell of cancer, I would take a canker sore, I would take pond scum ahead of anybody that's running the Democratic Party.
Well, and I wanted to say this. If Biden gets in there, and secession is going to be a huge movement if Biden gets in there. And it'll probably be a huge movement as well if Trump is able to pull it off and get in there.
If Trump gets in there, the other states will secede.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be a civil war either way, I believe.
I remember when Obama originally got in. I live in Texas. When Obama got in, it was kind of a whimper of a secession movement. And then the people on the left are like, oh, that's crazy and all this. But when Trump got in, and you're from California, remember Cal Exit?
Well, not only that, but California, essentially, by calling themselves a sanctuary state, they've already done something very much like seceding, even though legally and technically that is not what they did.
Yeah.
And I should say, everybody, I did not vote for Obama. I couldn't stand Obama. I do believe he won. I do believe he won both times. I never said he was our illegitimate president. I said he was a horrible president. I said he would do a lot of things, and he did a great deal of the things that I said he would do, and I wasn't sure he was ever going to leave, and I don't think he did leave. I think his apparatus is what stayed behind in Washington. He moved geographically. He moved the way a bee moves after he stings you and leaves the stinger inside, and that deep state apparatus is what tried to overthrow Trump.
Yeah. Well, Bob, I think we will end.
So much for our hour that came up to an hour and a half probably by now.
No, we're at about an hour, so we're doing
okay,
well.
Very good.
That will do it for this week's World News Brief. Bob, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's great to be with you in person. Most of the time we're separated on crosstalk through Zoom and
Zoom.
Half a country away.
Yeah, that's our country these days. Zoom and gloom.
Zoom and gloom.
No, but it's great being with you, Ryan, and I'm looking forward to having you on my show too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a great time. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us. Be sure to check us out online, cgmradio.com. Shoot me an email, world@cgmradio.com, and follow us on CGM Radio social media accounts. You can do @CGM Radio News on Facebook, Twitter, and Parler. God bless. We'll see you next time.